Blog Talk Radio.
Israelites, with your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
That's translated as the Lord. It needs to be crystal clear in every believer's mind. It appears in the Hebrew text and it is still readily known in Judaism and the Jewish world. And this name is comprised of four letters. In Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it's called Arba Othiot, and it means the four-lettered name. In the four Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it's called Arba Othiot, and it means in Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it's called Arba Othiot, and it means in Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it is called Arba Othiot, and it means the four-lettered name. In Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it is called Arba Othiot, known in Judaism and the Jewish world. And this name is comprised of four letters. In Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it is called Arba Othiot, and it means the four-lettered name. And the four letters of the name are Yod, He, Waw, He. Some may pronounce it Yod, He, Vav, He. However, Yod, He, Waw, He is the most ancient form of the pronunciation of these letters. And in English, it is often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God, King James Version. You may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes. And in English, it is often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes. And in English, it is often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God is all capitalized. You'll see that whenever there is the capitalization of these words, the name has been covered up in those instances. And that is really important, because the Lord implies, you know, something, some ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the great who, so rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God is all capitalized. You'll see that whenever there is the capitalization of these words, the name has been covered up in those instances. And that is really important, because the Lord implies, you know, something, some ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the is the personal revelation, ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. The ambiguous entity, however, Yahuwah, is the personal revelation of the Creator. The ambiguous entity, however, Yahuwah, is the personal ambiguous entity, however, Yahuwah, is the personal ambiguous entity, however, Yahuwah, is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the great who. Who is the Almighty? He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned, his memorial forever. And again, when you look in the scriptures, you'll see he is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned, his memorial forever. He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned, his memorial forever. He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned, his memorial forever. He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned, his memorial forever. He is Yahuwah. That is his name. That is mentioned, his memorial forever. And again, when you look in the scriptures, you'll see in your English versions, YHWH, those four letters represent the consonants of Yod, He, Wal, He. You even kind of hear that. The Yod starts with a Y, the He starts with an H, the Wal starts with a W, and the final He starts with, again, the H sound. In English, so YHWH, or as some people say, YHVH. However, again, this is the revelation of the four-lettered name. It is often said to be Shem HaMifarash, and that means the name which is distinctly pronounced. However, most use that term Shem HaMifarash to mean the name which is not to be spoken. It's not exactly what it means. The name surely was spoken. All the prophets knew the name. In fact, most of the prophets are even named after the creator of the universe. I'm sure you've heard of the great prophet Elijah. His name is Eliyahu, which means my El, that's what Eli means. Yahu refers to Yahuwah. And this is well known. All you have to do is look in your Strong's Concordance or look in whatever study tools you're using to study the Hebrew Scriptures. Or if you can read Hebrew and you go and find Eliyahu's name, you see right there. But is he the only one? No, not even close. Jeremiah, his name Yirmiyahu, you know. Zedekiah, his name Zedekiyahu. Hezekiah is known as Hezekiyahu. This happens on many of the prophets' names, I would say even most of the prophets' names, such as Isaiah, his name is Yeshayahu. The Messiah, the one that has been called Jesus incorrectly today, this name Jesus comes from a Latinized form of Yeshua, which is not even the full name. When you go and look at the etymology, you'll see that the full and proper name of the Messiah of Israel is actually Yahushua. Yod He Wal Shin Wal Ayin, which means that he is Yahuwah's salvation. And this is a very beautiful picture. We also want to go over to another familiar piece of passage to explain a little further why this name is of such importance. We all know these passages. I'm not trying to use anything too difficult in this study because I want people to understand. So in Joel chapter 2, and we go to verse 32, we read, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yahuwah shall be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be escape, as Yahuwah has said, and amongst the survivors whom Yahuwah calls." We all know this passage, except we've probably heard it with the Lord. "All who call upon the Lord shall be saved." However, that's not what the passage states. It states, "All who call upon Yahuwah shall be saved." And again, this is so important for us to understand because we are living in the last days and this revelation of the Creator's name is going forth. What used to be held for just studies amongst rabbis and learned theologians and various teachers and doctors is now being proclaimed even to lay people. And this is critical because Yahuwah is expanding the awareness of his great and awesome memorial name. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, we read, "Then shall those who fear Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, Y-H-W-H, Yahuwah, shall speak to one another, and Yahuwah will listen and hear, and a book of remembrance be written before him of those who fear Yahuwah and those who think upon his name." Wouldn't you want to be in this book of remembrance? This is the book of life, after all. And if you believe in the Messiah, the one that I said, his name is Yahushua, he taught us how to pray. And you probably remember this. In your King James Version, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In the Hebrew, however, it is Abinu Sabashamayim Yitkadesh Shimka, which means our Abba, our Father, who is in the Shemayim, the heaven, Kodesh, or set apart and sanctified, is your name. The Messiah said he did all of his works in his Father's name. He healed the blind in the Father's name. He did all these things. And we read in the book of Revelation that the 144,000 in the book of Revelation that are sealed, what are they sealed with? The Father's name in their forehead.
Jerusalem, that letters forming the most sacred name of God began to show up on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. Remember, we will discuss the extraordinary reports coming from Jerusalem that letters forming the most sacred name of God began to show up on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. We will discuss the extraordinary reports coming from Jerusalem that letters forming the most sacred name of God began to show up on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. Remember, the eastern side of the Temple Mount is where the famous Golden Gate is located, and according to Jewish prophecy, the Messiah will enter the Temple through the eastern gate. If you wish to learn what is happening in Jerusalem, is it possible that God is revealing His name on the Temple Mount? Is it a foreshadowing of something bigger? Let's investigate together. The information I am sharing with you is not something well known, but if you search the internet, you will find recent reports of people and newspapers claiming to see Hebrew letters appearing on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. If that didn't make you intrigued, then what if I tell you that the letters seem to form the most sacred name of God? The name we are talking about is so holy that Jewish people do not even dare to pronounce it. This name is often called the tetragram, meaning Hebrew word consisting of four Hebrew letters. The letters seem to form the most sacred name of God. The name we are talking about is so holy that Jewish people do not even dare to pronounce it. This name is often called the tetragram, meaning Hebrew word consisting of four Hebrew letters. Starting from right to left, those letters are Yod, He, Vav, He. Here you can look if I tell you that the letters seem to form the most sacred name of God. The name we are talking about is so holy that Jewish people do not even dare to pronounce it. This name is often called the tetragram, meaning Hebrew word consisting of four Hebrew letters. Starting from right to left, those letters are Yod, He, Vav, He. Here you can see a Bible verse from the book. This name is often called the tetragram, meaning Hebrew word consisting of four Hebrew letters. This name is often called the tetragram, meaning Hebrew word consisting of four Hebrew letters. This name is often called the tetragram, meaning Hebrew word consisting of four Hebrew letters. This name is often called the tetragram, meaning Hebrew word consisting of four Hebrew letters. Summarize, we have the name of God on the mezuzah. We have the name of God in the topography of Jerusalem. And now it seems that the name of God is starting to appear in this mysterious way on the eastern wall to the Temple Mount. And according to the ancient Jewish prophecies, Jerusalem is where Messiah will come to establish his everlasting kingdom and bring the shalom peace to humanity.
Thank you.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Across radio, worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yaquas Radio, Yaquas Ministry. I be your host. Thy name, your seer, Israel. Oh, see, Royal, we're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, Deep Dark Sands of the Bible. So, what are we saying? This is part number 42. So this series will be what to be put on the CDs, DVDs, the Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, take number 42. That's what it's all about. So that's the title. So we was asked, what is the title of the lesson? Well, we're doing a series. And the series is called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, Deep Dark Sands. But we see now, unlocking these biblical mystery, deep dark sands, we found out that everything, when you try to uncover one thing, and you find out that everything is just need to be uncovered. And that's how the Almighty rolls. And so that's why we might, I don't know, it all depends on what's going on tonight. We might touch on things that we think that we is doing something, but it's been already orchestrated by your mighty one to bring it out. It's just so much information. That's why you have to be prepared to whatever the way he leads you, that will be your lesson in unfolding the mysteries of the Bible. So you have to be spirit-led from the Almighty. And once you're spirit-led from the Almighty, you might have 10, 11 things on your mind, but he'll stop you right there and there. And it will have nothing to do with your notes that you have taken down, because the spirit of Yahweh would take over and say, well, no, I want this to be on this lesson, and I want that. So you got to be prepared to make that adjustment. Good. Got it. Good. All right. Enough said on that. Let's see if we're going to be on stage for, remember, no broadcast at all on Tuesday. We'll be back on the airwaves Wednesday and Thursday at 6 o'clock. So Tuesdays, no broadcast. Got it? Good. But Wednesday and Thursday, back on at 6 p.m. So let's see who's going to be on stage for the nice episode, part number 42. And like we say, Judah Israel, like we say, be. S, Judah, Israel. Take notes. Get prepared. One day you're going to be on the clock. And when it's time to come on, you got to be hit the floor running in some Dust Says YHWH. Because that's it. One thing we can't be confused about is the name. They even say they got a thing that's going on the Western Wall that the rocks is even crying out. But you know what? It's a verse on that. So may them young lions can help those say out. It's a verse on that. He said, now, if these stones hold their peace, maybe them old young lions, because I see you got young lions all over the network, help those say out. And And you can try to kind of peep at it in the book of Luke. It talks about that young lions, about if these stones hold a peace. He said, I'm going to get my praise. These rocks going to cry out. So now we're going to put the young lions on the test a little bit later and see if they come up with something. And remember, the mother's already in the background saying, you know, Sarah, I think we want to beat them young lions back. I said, well, I don't know. They might be all right. He said, I don't know. I'm watching them young lions now real carefully. All right, good. All right, that's enough of my folly right now. Let's see who'll be on the stage. Okay, good enough. So let's see who on stage for tonight's episode. All right, Brother Micaiah. Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahuwah bless you there, Seed Roy.
Yahuwah bless you there, dear Israel of Seed Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there, young lion. Brother Micaiah Israel, sounds like he's ready to get in and do his part. That's what it's all about. Get in and do your part. Let's see. Brother Titus. Yeah, right. Brother Titus coming on stage for a nice episode. Brother Titus, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahuwah bless you there, Seed Roy.
Yahuwah bless you there, dear Israel of Seed Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. I hear a lot of bass come out your boys there, young man, and that's what those seers like to hear. Because we very sure about what we own, no doubt about it. And one of the mothers ready to go. She said, look, see, I'm always ready to go. I'm always ready to go. When it comes down to Yahuwah's business, I lead by example. Because the young mothers that's coming in, they must see leadership mothers, always entering in season, out of season, ready to go. Mother E, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahuwah bless you, C. Roy.
Yahuwah bless you, see Israel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there, Mother E. And we know Mother Z is did say she's going to double up today or maybe Wednesday. I don't know. Double up, but she said she got to get everything down pat and double up to give her commentary. Now, I hear it'll be a few minutes late, but I'm going to take a look at something even before I get off into Luke 12 there, young lions. You know, on page of the book of Enoch, on page 251, Chapter 26. I want to talk about some things that goes on behind the scene. Some things that goes on behind the scene that is understandable. It goes on behind the scene. On page number 26 in verse 8 there, young lion, it's something I want to just put on the table, verse 8 and verse 12, because some things is going on behind the scenes by certain organizations. Like we read last night in 2008, 2009, it was a decree went out to all the Christians from the Pope to the bishops, to get to the pastors, and the pastors get to the fathers, fathers get to the mothers, mothers get to the children, to make sure that true name of YHWH is not nowhere near them, and that's why the average Christian, 99.5%, when you tell them his true name is YHWH, they look like somebody in them. Pull something off of them that was on them. Off. It's done. But we're trying to give you the background why they astonished. So now, which one of the young lions will help those seer out? On the third book of Enoch. Now, Enoch is a seven from heaven. And yes, Enoch wrote more books than anybody. He wrote over 300-some books. No, we know it's not in canon WCC, because if it was in canon WCC, they wouldn't be so far behind, because you put in what you want to be in canon. But it says in Psalm 50, verse 16-17, WCC, World Council of Churches, you don't supposed to have a word even coming out your mouth, because you ain't going to do right.
If you go back.
Well, here, we got the power to cut you off. Yeah. I said, well, I come clear you got the power to cut me off, because it's your radio station. But we're still going to call it the way it is, because we ain't scared of you. Now, young mind, what can we read in Acts 26? Who going to give me verse 8 and verse 12? Who going to give me verse 8? Just the way it says in verse 8, third book of Enoch, 26, verse 8.
Brother Makai, take verse 8.
Okay, brother Titus, take verse 8, and young lion gonna take. Or did I flip it or over wrong? What did I say wrong there? Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's all right. It don't matter. Brother Titus can take verse 8, and I'll take 12. Hallelujah. Well.
Hallelujah. All right, let's see. We was given the left side of the right side of the international, over 700,000 strong, to look up on their phone and pull up the third book of Enoch. I didn't even know that exists. I know you don't know it exists, because when you are Christian, you will be lacking. Because the Pope said one thing about it, that righteous name, I don't want to hear coming out your mouth. And he told them bishops that. And that's why you catch the average bishop. The last thing he going to say, Yahweh. But they say over there in Jerusalem, even the walls is starting to cry out. Matter of fact, where that verse at? Who got that verse for Osir? Who got that verse in Luke? What is it? Let's see who got that verse for Osir. If Yahweh said, when the Pharisees said, this is what they said. They said, did you hear what them people saying about you? He said, yeah, I hear. He said, now, if they don't say nothing, I'm going to have the rocks to cry out, and I want to precept on that. So since the young lions is all ready to go, let's see if you help the old seer. I'll put that Enoch down just for a minute, and we'll come back in that a minute. I want that part right there. It talks about it in the book of Luke. Now, who will help the old seer? I'll pull that verse out. And then tell me, where would you precept that verse at? Now, who going to come clean on the ninth episode part 42? I'm all ears. Come on.
We got Luke chapter 19, verse 39 and 40. The book of Luke chapter 19,
read 37.
Verse 37.
Make it sound good there, young. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, pull up at verse 37. Yeah, pull up at verse 7 there, 37 there. See, old Seer, sometimes he be having the big stick already behind his head. But I got to know who is on this thing. We don't need to wait until we find out when the action is hot and heavy that you're not prepared. So the Seer's going to do everything he can to draw you or drive you. But one thing he know he's going to do, he's going to let expose you if you ain't right. Got it? Good. All right. Well, let's see what we're working with. Come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 37 down to 40. Verse 37 reads, and when he was come near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise Yahweh with a loud voice. for all the mighty works that they had seen. Verse 38, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of Yahuwah, peace in heaven, and the honor in the height. Verse 39, some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples. Verse 40, he said, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry.
So he said, you see the religion? He says, rebuke them followers of yours talking that talk. He said, look here, if they hold their peace, even the stones gonna cry out. He said, I'm gonna get my glory. Now, where did he pull that from? Now, young lions, tell old Seer what he pulled that from. He said, if the rocks don't, if the ones that following, and the same thing we saying to the six anointed camps, listen, Yahuwah gonna get his glory. He gonna see, and this thing is not about seniority. When Yahuwah put that spirit on you, it gonna make you go. It ain't got nothing to do with seniority. It's about getting a job done that was already ordained before the foundation of the world. Now what precept is we gonna get that since he's talking about stones and rocks? Where can I read a precept on that, young lions? Get the seer get a precept on that.
Hey, Baker.
Which one of y'all on the clock for that? A precept on that. We need a precept on the stones or rocks. If the ones that's walking with me don't talk right and talk fast and loud, I might have a stone say something. That's how he played it. Now, where did he pull that?
Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 11. The book of Habakkuk.
Say it again, that young line.
Chapter 2. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 11.
Let's hear a little bit of that 2:11 from the book of Habakkuk. Let's hear a little bit of that.
The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 11 reads, for the stones shall cry out of the wall, and the beams out of the temple shall answer it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, who pulled that, what you just read? Somebody else pulled that. That's excellent. That's an excellent precept there. No doubt about it, young man. But who pulled that verse prior to the coming of Yahuwah the Son? Now, I got you. I mean, that's excellent. But what I want to know, who pulled that verse? That's what I want to know. Yeah. Who pulled that verse 22. That we can read?
The book of Joshua. Now,
your line?
The book of Joshua. Chapter 24, verse 26 and 27. The book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 26 and 27. 26 reads, Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of Yahuwah, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the temple of Yahuwah. Verse 27. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone should be a witness unto us, for it had heard all the words of Yahuwah, which he spake unto us. It should be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent too there, young man. But back up to Matthew's there, young man, chapter, brother, are you? And let's look at 3, verse 7. And we're going to read down to verse number 9. 7 through 9.
This is what Osiris was kind of looking at. And I thought that was excellent precepts. But how about this right here? We read Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. But Micaiah, what does that say that we can read?
The book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 down to verse 9. Verse 7 reads, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Verse 9, and think not to say unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Yahweh is able of these stones to raise up mm-hmm. children unto Abraham."
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Yeah, my lady. So you see, remember you're talking to the Pharisees, told him, hey, why don't you rebuke them ones that's around you? Rebuke them. That means correct. How can I correct them? If I correct them, the stones gonna start talking. So now we preach this right back to the Pharisees again. See, this is what they get. So all he done was repeat what John was saying. The Pharisees came out there, all pup, mama, pup, daddy. He said, let me tell y'all something. He said, you got to bring forth some fruit, meet for repentance. And if it don't happen, these stones going to cry out. He said, I can turn these stones into the children of Israel. So you see, mm-hmm. Yahweh going to get what he got coming. So that's why we got to understand this Bible, not read it like a novel. It's no accident in Yahweh. Everything is, the world don't understand predestination, but we know how to go in the Bible and tie in predestination. Ain't nothing you doing that has not already been done in the spirit realm. And we probably might tell you a little bit of that after Brother Micaiah getting these loot. Chapter
12,
verse
12.
What's going on with that young lion? Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
Mm-hmm. That's right. In that very same hour. In that very same hour. A case in point there, Brother Titus. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, can you help those see out and mother, a hey, mother E, have me 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, for a precept. Let's see what we can get out of Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 9. This is just conversation that's going on there. Come on.
The book of Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 reads, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the mercy of Yahweh the Son, unto another covenant." Verse 7, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the covenant of Yahweh the Son." Verse 8, "but though we, or a minister of spirit from heaven, teach any other covenant unto you, than that which we have taught unto you, let him be accursed." Verse 9, "as we said before, so say I now again, if any man teach any other covenant unto you, than that he have received, let him be accursed."
So, he's saying, if somebody bring you any other thing that is not the covenant of Yahweh, in your mind, let him or her that bring it to you, let it be a curse. If the Bible don't line up with it, let it be a curse. Now, Mother E, what it says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Let's see what we can read, Mother E. What can we read out of 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4?
Okay, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 4. But if he that cometh preaching other Yahweh, whom ye have not taught, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another covenant, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
You see that? That means you got to take it down, mother. If they bring you any other thing than what the Bible supports, and that's why we're trying to tell you plainly, you must be able to get his name right. See, you had a organization long time ago, and it's still the same bloodline of them peoples. See, they know plainly, if you call him by any other name, he knows by being a parasite, we can continue to keep growing, growing, and growing. A parasite don't like to be cleaned up, because when you clean up a parasite, it disappears. So we don't worry about nothing until it soundly, you don't see a word behind that.
You got me right now. I'm lost.
All right. Okay, what are we saying? But remember, they're not worrying about you. No group.
Mm-hmm.
Because the group, understand, the foundation is Yahweh made it personal. Where it starts at was with his name. And he makes it plain now, Brother Micaiah, in the book of Deuteronomy. See, he makes this plain. And that's why you have to be word up. And where the way he take you, that's the way you go. Because we're going to show you about predestination and how things is. Listen, I don't know. But we want to drop a verse on you in the 16th chapter on how he operates.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how he operates. In the 16th chapter there, young lion, can you help those see out what is he saying, verse number 2? Listen to what he's saying in verse 2. 16 verse 2 of Deuteronomy.
We're going over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, and we're picking up at verse number 2. Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 2 reads, "You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, of the flock of the herd, in the place which the Yahuwah shall choose to place his name there."
He said, when you're doing any feasts, any Sabbath day, feast, Sabbath days, or whatever, he said, you supposed to do that worshiping at the place where his name is at. See, that's one of the greatest mystery in teaching. Wherever you go and worship at, he said, you supposed to worship where his name is it. You see that word called name? Choose to place his name at. Listen to me, 690 camps. This man instructed Moses. He said he don't want nothing going on nowhere among Moses, Aaron, and the children of Israel. Make sure whatever you do, my name is above you, and don't do nothing strange now. Because you're doing things strange, and when you know the truth, then Mother E, what that mean when you know the truth? We're going to St. John chapter 9. And we'll get verse 40 and 41. He said, don't do nothing strange. And young man, Titus, had me Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. See, don't do nothing strange. Look what he said to again to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. See, we know we're going to get at Enoch in the third book of men, but he said first here, lay the foundation. Then when you read that, you be clear on how to pluck a chicken spiritually, you know, when you're alone. And that's what we're trying to get you on the note. The way a person even walk, talk, he'll give you all the discernment if you listen and take notes.
Well.
Now, Mother going to take care of business in 9:1. And what you got to read there, Mother E? You on the clock, come on.
He says, St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41.
Yes, ma'am.
St. John chapter 9, verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? 41. Yahweh the Son said unto them, if ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sins remain.
Now, so Mother, the Almighty Son's biggest fight was with whom, according to them verses? According to them verses right there, Mother, what was Yahweh the Son's biggest fight and the problem that he went through? According to verse 40 and 41, can you help the national audience out? What was his biggest problem, according to two verses? Now, remember, the young lions, they will be in the background. And if you nail it out the way, fine. But we're going to see what's going on. Now, what's going on in them two verses right there, Mother? Come on.
In verse 1, the Pharisees were asking Yahweh, were they blind? In verse 41, Yahweh said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. So if you were blind, you should have no sin. Yahweh said unto him, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But and then he said, now you say you see, and your sins remain. I know what it is.
What is really my question is, what is the Almighty's biggest problem that he having, Mother? That's my question. Matter of fact, Brother Titus, what is the Almighty's problem that he having right there? What you got to say about that, Brother Titus?
So Yahweh the Son's biggest problem was the Pharisees saying that they were blind. And they saying to him, if we blind also. But see, they said that they said they see, now they say they know. If they know this already, then they sin, and that sin remains. So when they say they see, it means they say they know. They already know. Therefore, their sin remains where they are.
But, Daniel, again, maybe the other young lion can just help those see it out. I just want to get, my question is, what is Yahuwah's biggest problem that he had when he came to, what is his biggest problem?
Okay.
Take a shot at that. What is his biggest problem? Because what we trying to say in so many words, guess what your biggest problem going to be? You're going to find out what your biggest problem going to be, too.
People being so blind.
So now, you want to take a shot at that, Brother Makai?
People being blind.
Well, no, that ain't what I want. So I tell you what, this is what I want. This is what I really want, damn.
Thank you.
Brother McKay. Let me show you what I really want. Let me show you what the Osea really want. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, first. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 first. Let me show us what the seer really wants. In Matthew, Brother Micaiah, can you help those see out what he's really looking for in Matthew 6, verse 16? Backed up with Brother Titus in Matthew 16, 11 through 12, and Mother E in Mark 8, 15. This is what I'm really saying. What I'm saying, because see, you have to know what's going to be your biggest problem. But if you already be informed about it, then when it jump off, you say, okay, let's see what we can read in Matthew 6:16, backed up with Brother Titus, and Matthew 16:11-12, and Mother E, going to have me Mark 8:15, and then our elder, I'm finally came to the scene, and we'll bring our elder in, and then we'll regroup after, see what he bring, what the Almighty bring to the table for him. Come on.
Well, to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, reading verse 16. Verse 16 read, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a said counsel, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Truly I say unto you.
Now what you read? Well, hold on now, young lion. Now, let me turn over there. Still, I better get me a piece of book. Now, are you sure you read Matthew 6:16?
Matthew chapter 6:16.
Okay, good. Okay, let me peep over there, cause I need something else out of that. So let me peep, because I'm going somewhere with this. In Matthew chapter 6, right? Let's see what I'm looking for. In Matthew chapter 6, I said Matthew 6:16, huh? Okay. Well, that mean I'm struggling then, because that's not really what I'm looking for in Matthew's. I'm looking for something else to go along with what we're talking about. So, in Matthew chapter 6, my question: who is going to be our biggest problem? As to who is Yahuwah the Son's biggest problem? That was the question I threw on the table. But 6:16 is not helping me there, young man. It's not giving me what I need. So let me table that and ponder on why that befall me by going to the young lion, the other young lion, in Matthew 16, verse 8, 11, 12, and maybe I can stall a little time till I can figure out why I didn't hear what I need to hear. Come on, young lion, Brother Titus, what you working with?
The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 11 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 16, verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Verse 12 reads, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
That's what I'm talking about, young lion, and somewhere in verse 6. I'm talking about in that line. See, what I'm talking about, see, Yahweh warned following him to who to be aware of. See, you want to be aware of, according to the doctrine, the teaching of them bishops, because them bishops got an order from the Pope. He said, you got to beware of what they're going to bring to the table. He says, now Mother going to tie that in Mark chapter 8, verse 15. So now, young lion, Brother Titus, Micaiah, in that sixth chapter, can you find me something relating to what Mother and Brother Titus put on the table? Hey, Mother E, what's the read out of Mark 8, 15?
Book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod.
You see that? You see, so he charged them to what to be aware of.
Okay.
See, and that what we, you know, fatten your bones with, what to be aware with according to this book. It might be somebody real close to you, but beware of the leaven that come out the mouth. You got to beware of that, because if there's no verse on the table, and if you ask for a precept of what you're talking about, and if you get offended about a precept or anything pertaining to it, you have to be aware of these things. That's why we're trying to, you know, fag your bones up with how to catch something. So now, Brother Titus, Micaiah, did you find me anything in Matthew's pertaining to what we're saying that beware? See, the word I'm looking for is beware. You know, like you see a sign before you, the ticket book people be standing on the side. They said, no, beware of that corner right there, because the ticket book people be laying back behind a tree on you, and you run, if you run that stop sign next to the lane, right on top of you. So beware. Don't run that stop sign right there, because you got to beware of that. They come out from nowhere and give you a ticket. So Yahweh is reminding them to beware, and that's the same thing we're trying to tell you, to beware of these things. Because if you don't have the name right, then everything you're doing is in vain. So if you're struggling with his name and you just can't come to grips with it, that means that leaven that I've got into you for all these many years, it's going to take a whole lot to get it out of you. And that's why it's not good to help others. And to help others. Because remember, they've been indoctrinated of bad teaching on the name, even in preschool. They start messing you up in preschool about that name. And now we find out. So, Brother Micaiah, you got anything that I can read on this word called Beware of Matthews?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 15.
Oh, 7:15?
7:15.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, beware of false teachers.
How about the number one word, mythical pope? He called all the bishops. He called all the bishops in. And he said, look here. And we read earlier, he got a summit now for all the big dignitaries that come before us now, but we can come to be one world order again. So you always start with the leaders. So the folk have to get right. It's his bishops. Because his bishops have to spread that information, this other name that's in that cup. So he got to first win the bishops. So the first thing he's winning over here is the bishops. So how about the number one, before we get to the teachers and the pastors, let's stop off so we find out the number one thing is get that bishop. Get that bishop, or the bishop is the one show up at your places, and he called that pastor to the side and said, listen, we're doing a new thing now. We're going to bring another name in instead of the name that is found now is even written on the walls. It's coming out on the wall. It says, give me a word they got over there. Now I'm going to call the word out because I know I'm going to butcher the word up. It's like something like a phenomenon. Yeah, that's close enough. They say it's a phenomenon going on in Jerusalem now. They say on the wall you can go on your computers and see that them walls are starting to put the name. It's on the eastern gate, although we clear up that the eastern gate, that's Fort Tonio. Anyway, we clear that gate is not there. But they saying on the gate, the name, four letters, is growing on them things. The true name is growing on that thing. So when I got the message on the house machine, it's a seer, you know, the true name is growing in Jerusalem on the eastern gate. Do you know the gate that he's going to come through? Well, you know, I let him have that part about the gate he's coming through. But I know clear that the temple, that was a Fort Tonio, that's a 36 acres of granite rock, and that was Solomon and David had for their horse stables because their horse messed up everything. Down the road a piece, and because how we know that? Because the prophecy of Brother Titus in the book called Lamentation chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, how we know these things? Because you know what we look into the Bible when you speak. What it says in Lamentation chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
The book of Lamentation. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 reads, how do the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nation and princes among the province.
Widow. It don't say nothing about no widow. How become what there, young man?
He said Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, right? Lamentations.
Hey, you're reading it right, but you come up with a word called widow, and you got it right. I'm not looking at it, but it just ain't sitting right with those. What that word say again in 1 and verse 2. Take your time and look at it real carefully.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 1. In verse 2, how do the city sit solitary that was full of people? How did she become as a widow? That's what it reads. She that was great. Yeah, the widow. W-I-D-O. W-I-D-O-W.
Okay. All right. You
all
right.
Yeah,
she that was great among the nations and princes among the prophets. How did she become tributary? Verse 2, she weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheek among all her lovers. She had none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemy.
So we found out that area that we're talking about is, according to verse 1, it becomes isolated. There ain't nothing going on over there. There ain't nothing going on there. Cause that place once had a bunch of people. And that's what they said. And that's the propaganda they use today. Before we got over there, the Jewish people say, sons of Esau, in 1948, there wasn't nobody over here. No, that's not true. They was over there. You pushed them out. See, that's where the propaganda come in. No, you pushed them out. Then you say, well, nobody over there. Otherwise, it's a great thing for you to come over there because that land didn't have nobody on it. No, they was on it. You pushed them off in 1948. Because Yahweh had a prophecy said this it's time for the vengeance to come anyway. So we found out the city in, what word is that again? What's this word here again?
Solitude.
Solitude. Okay. Solitude. That means nobody there. Ain't nobody going to be there. So he ain't coming to no western wall, no eastern gate there, because we that area that you in is not the area of the Bible. That's another lesson. So let's bring our elder in and let him sit the stage. We'll come back with some more of this stuff because we for warning you that the seer's job is to forewarn the elders. And the elder's job is to forewarn the fathers. The fathers is to tell the mothers, and the mothers is to tell the children. So, if we get in order, just like Yahweh, he forewarned the 12 that's coming after him. He forewarned them. So when this thing come up, you won't be caught like somebody snatched your clothing off you. You be prepared for this thing. And always make a calling according to the Bible. Don't make no calling according to Brother Micaiah. Don't have this kind of spirit on you. In Samuel 16:1. Don't have a 16:1 spirit on you. What did it say that we can read?
We're going over to the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 16, and we're picking it up at verse number 1. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Say 1 Samuel, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, chapter 16. Verse 1 read. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Since I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill thy horn with oil.
See, you got to understand something. Yahweh got a way to make whatever it is in you come out. And when it come out, Yahweh is trying to forewarn you. So how long are you going to mourn for Saul, he say? He said, I rejected him because I knew he had an idol in his head. You didn't know it, but I know it. He had an idol in his head, he said. And I rejected him because I know he's not going to do right. See, we look at people and we think one way, but the Bible will tell you another way. So you got to be very careful. Sometimes I don't pay the seal, no, never mind. But sooner or later, you're going to recognize the signs of the time. That when some things happen, it ain't no coincidence. We'll show you exactly what the Bible is saying after we bring our elder in and we tell you all about taking 42, what the Almighty brought on him. Elders and tales, Yahuwah bid you see Royal.
And Yahuwah bless you, serious fellow see Royal. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Elder, we were trying to go with the spirit of Yahuwah. And we have to be in position to forewarn the six anointed camps what can befall them. And when you see the big elephant coming down your block with a bow tie on, don't act like you don't see it because he's heading to your kitchen. And you'll be very crowded to know when the big elephant with a bow tie on in your kitchen while you trying to cook. So keep that in your mind. Hey, Elder, what you got to tell this national audience over 700,000 strong on the international side? The floor is yours and the clock is yours and the world listening. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahuwah bless you, see you as well, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners. And I'm quite sure with the references that you're making, everybody is getting a clear understanding in mind and for today and for tomorrow. That was pretty clear, I would have to say. But we have to be aware, you know, by knowing these scriptures that you always hear me say and the Bible precepts, we're given the knowledge to know that we have many people out there that want to use overly loud pump-the-drums contests and confusion to try to teach their way of the scriptures. Well, it told you in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 3, it says, and every spirit that confess not that Yahuwah the Son is come in the flesh is not that of Yahuwah. This is the spirit of the anti-Yahuwah. For you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. And I don't know if it'd be walking with a big bow tie on, but it might be like what we described earlier. You know, let the blind lead the blind. You know, that's pretty good, too. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and wrong-taught Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry. As you know, we come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, as you see, is about Yahuwah's words. Learning how to connect the book, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. This is information that you all came to seek and have now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, Bible Yahuwah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, Sabbath class, we do have. Top part of Sabbath is Friday. That time of the class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. On the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. And after clicking it, just under the big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But again, after clicking that, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads that book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come unto his courts. Now, I guess I'd have to throw this in there and say, you have to ask yourself, does Yahuwah come down to collect you? Or did you forget that Yahuwah with his word can create all? Well, this is the question that remains. How is this done? We receive Yahuwah's word that he has given us through the protocol. So in turn, we do nothing. Well, in Malachi chapter 3, let's see what that says. If we look at maybe verse 9 and 10. 9 says, you are cursed with a curse, and you have robbed me, even this whole nation. 10, bring ye all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that you may have meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Yahuwah host. If not, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out to you a blessing that we all shall not be womb enough to receive. That should make sense when it's properly laid out there, as we do in this ministry, because we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts that we have the knowledge to be able to pass this information out to the members that really need it. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah. We are also thinking of building a school, which is very well needed, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of. We even have a calendar to help keep you in tune with the Bible feast days to come throughout the year. Also, we have a live program. It's the feature that you can get by entering Yahuwah Radio Live. Click enter, look for the Voices of the True Israelite, and click the red live button. As soon as it appears, it'll put you into our live online broadcast. We even use two email addresses. The first is tribeyahba@gmail.com. The other is yahba@gmail.com. These are to write your written opinions and questions of the biblical subject answered or related topics. We even have numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This will be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on scripture that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But also as a reminder, do not call this number trying to teach. You will hear a discouraging click followed by a thump. Also, by calling this number, you can order what our members know as the 12 program via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it from us. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact us here via email, phone, or text before broadcast or after us. You might imagine the CEO is pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and announcing many memos that most of us have seen, even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. If the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. Like I said, there will be a discouraging click followed by a dot. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program, you can catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter Yahuwah Radio Live. Look for the name of Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Just choose the program you are late logging into, or pick any day that you would like to listen. Now, during our normal Blog Talk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Peloton. Listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. You'll find our room will hold 50 or more participants when it's open. This is where Yahuwah's word will be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer topics we discussed on our broadcast will be Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel writing shotgun. During this time, no comments will be taken off topic or any more than 2 text questions answered at a time. Blog Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue teaching on Talk Talk while being with you all. So we can start and continue our teaching as we'll discuss. We'll press our program back to our Seer Israel. Say, how do you?
All right, there, Elder, hallelujah. Well, it just, we just want to lay a little groundwork down because, see, when this groundwork is laid down and if you study this groundwork and you get out your own feelings and get this groundwork together because we want to touch on predestination and all that stuff, but we can't get predestination on the table until you understand what this man is saying. It's not going to work until you understand. Now, the young lion, Brother Micaiah, you was reading me a verse, and I said, go into such and such verse. Now, what verse was you on again there, young lion? Brother Micaiah, what verse was you on? And remember, what I was wanting to hear is a specific word what's called beware, danger, watch yourself. So what was you bringing out before the elder laid the foundation? Do that word, wherever you was at, do that word comes out with the word called danger. Look out. Be aware of these things. Because if we be aware of these things, what we're trying to bring to the table, it can help me out, Brother Titus, in 7:21 of 2 Ezra. Brother Titus?
2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse 21. 2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse 21. For Yahweh has given straight Torah instructions to such as came, what they should do to live, even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment.
You see, and that same thing that we trying to make sure you clear, especially in the Sixth Anointed Count, you got to be clear that it's about this book, and this book got to line up with everybody's talk and their walk. You got to line up with this book, and we'll get... Now, come on back there, Brother Micaiah. Now, what you was reading before the elder came in, do that specifically got what the overseer needs? Now, look at it very careful. Now, if it don't, then no, it ain't really got specific what the overseer needs, but it's something you can use after. So now, if you gonna wrap your metrion, what you're bringing to the table, or what? You on the clock, come out.
The book of Matthew.
Brother Micaiah? Yes, sir.
The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, beware of false bishops, have dink, which come to you in sheep's clothes, but inwardly they are raving wolves.
Mm-hmm. Go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 6 there, young lion. Remember we're talking about a Pacific. That's great too now. But now go to Matthew 16, verse 6.
Going over to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, then Yahweh the Son said unto them, take heed and be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
Hey, that's a, yeah. So he was warning them what to look for, these religious leaders. See, this is what we're trying to tell you. These ones that will sit here and then will pass this thing on from grandfather to father to son. And it tells you, beware of this. So you've been put a whole life in there, went from one generation to the next, and they started passing this same old leaven down. And the same old leaven in the Christian church is to ignore the name. The name gonna get you salvation is ignore it. And you sitting there and you sitting there watching them use these other names, ignoring what the Bible's saying gonna happen to you if you don't use the name, and they continue to fleece you, and you don't take heed to the beware. And like we said earlier, when Yahweh came, the biggest problem that he had was the religious leaders. I mean, they had it going on. Now let's get another case in point. What they had going on. See, they always cooking. See, we trying to work our way back to this Enoch chapter, third book of Enoch, but we trying to work our way back to it. See, what did they have going on there, Mother E? What did they have going on in Matthew 26, 47 through 49? And Brother Titus have me Mark chapter 10, verse 32 to 34. What did they have going on? Let's see. Come on. Hey, Mother E, what's going on that we can read in 26, 7 through 49?
Book of Matthew chapter 26, 47 to 49. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27, read.
47 to 49.
Okay. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47 to 49. Verse 47. And why he is thief, lo, Judas, yes.
One of the 12.
What? Okay. And why he is thief, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. 48. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. 49. And forthwith he came to Yahweh the Son and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him.
Now, who won't take that? What happened? Who won't take that? Who won't take that and tell him, see what happened?
You just betrayed.
What happened here in 47 to 49? What happened here? What happened?
Judas.
Anybody hear me out? What happened?
Judas wanted one of his 12 followers. I brought a son knew in advance of what Judas was going to do. He was going to hand him over to one of the chief priests, to hand the Yahweh the Son over to the chief priests and to the elders, one of his followers, which is Judas, to betray him.
What you got to say out of Brother Micaiah? What you got to say out of this verse 47? What's going on? What you got to say?
I'm going to sit back and listen right now. So.
Mother, what you got to say? What you got to say? What's going on here?
Well, what I got to say is, I can't find the verse, but Yahweh had already...
No, just stay right here. Oh. No, you stay right here. Just stay right here and 26, what is going on here in 47 to 49? What's going on here?
Okay.
What's going on here?
Okay. Judah betrayed Yahweh. That's one of his followers, Judah, and he betrayed Yahweh with a kiss, and he had told the priests and the elders of the people. I guess I'm saying it right. What he was gonna do, and so he portrayed Yahweh with a kiss, and so they know who Yahweh was when he kissed her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So.
Hey, Elder. Shout out that Elder. Hey, Elder, I'm taking a shot at that. What's going on in 26, 47, 49? I'm going to take a shot at Elder. Okay. Okay, well, I'll take a shot at it. In the 26th chapter, it says here, and while he was yet spake, Judas, one of the 12, came with a great multitude with swords, sage. From who? From the chief priests and the elders of the people. So you see, he was working with the chief priests and all the ones up under him. The chief priest, he's the head man and all, just like the Pope and his bishops. They was all in cahoots, and they looked for somebody that would break rank and get us close to him, but we can deliver them up. So it's always going to be those that will lean to the left or to the right. And you got to be able to catch these things from the pages of the book. It's always something going on. Somebody trying to deliver you up when you're on the right track. Keep that in your mind. So listen what young lion Titus going to read in Mark chapter 10, verse 32 to 34. Remember, so far we're trying to show you to beware of some things, but you're not going to catch nothing by appearance. You'll catch all by the pages of the book. This is where you catch it. Mark 10, 32 down to verse 34, read it.
Mark chapter 10, verse 32 to 34. Mark chapter 10, verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Yahdah Judah, and Yahqua the son went before them. And they were amazed as they followed. They were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things shall happen unto him. Verse 33. Saying, behold, we go up to Yahdah Judah. And the Son of Man should be delivered unto the chief priest, unto the scribe, and they should condemn him to death, and should be left, and should deliver him to the Gentiles, who the word for the nation. Esau and his five sons. Verse 34. And they took and mocked him, and should scourge him, and should spit upon him, and should kill him. And the third day he should rise again.
So you see, he already knew. That's why he tell us, you know, your time is always, but he know his time. So he trying to tell you, beware, and they look and see who they can work with, and they found one they can work with was Judas. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they worked with him. See, so it's always somebody is trying to get you off of the truth. Remember last night lesson? We don't care about your teaching. Just don't teach in that name. But that name is popping up everywhere, and you can't hide it no more. But who going to be behind trying to figure out some kind of way for the stain in your armor? The chief priest. And those that's up under the chief priest. Now read Mark chapter 11 by Titus. And pick up verse 18.
Yes, yes.
Listen what the plan is. Listen what the plan is.
The book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 18. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his teaching.
You see that? So you see that? Now the chief priest, so how could a chief priest be of Yahuwah and fearing him, and the chief priest and those that's upon the chief priest, by his order, they try to do what in verse 18?
Mark chapter 11, verse 18. Mark chapter 11, verse 18. And the scribe and the chief priest heard it and saw how they might destroy him. When they feared him.
Mm-hmm. Why they fear him? Read. Why they fear him? Read.
Because all the people were astonished at his teaching.
You see what's going on here? So, go to Mark chapter 3, verse 6. Mark chapter 3, verse 6 there. Brother Titus. Mark 3, 6.
Go to Mark chapter 3, verse 6. Mark chapter 3, verse 6. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him.
The Herodians, the Herodians, that means those that follow Herod. Yes.
Hallelujah. That's right.
So, Herod, Herodians. That, you see the name Herod is in there. So it still was kind of a commission by the head, and they had them bought. The chief priest is in their pocket. Because the chief priest said something, Brother Titus, in 11:49 and 52. Listen what the chief priest said in 11:49 to 52. What did he say?
Mark chapter 11, 49 to 52.
St. John. Make it St. John.
St. John.
Yes.
John chapter 11, verse 49 to 52. John chapter 11, verse 49 reads. And one of them named Caiaphas, being a high priest, that same year, said it to them, you know nothing at all. Verse 50. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Verse 51. And this spake he, not of himself, but being high priest. That year he prophesied that Yahweh the Son should die for that nation. Verse 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of Yahweh that was scattered abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So you see, the Almighty, he always forewarn you in advance. And the reason why he forewarn you that, Brother Micaiah, in Sirach 10:1, why do he forewarn you there? And Sirach 10:1, and give me 37:23, for the precept. What it says, Brother Micaiah, and 10 verse 1.
Going over to the book of Sirach, chapter 10, picking up at verse number 1. The book of Torah, chapter 10, verse number 1 reads, a wise seer will instruct his people, and the government of a prudent man is well ordered. The book of Torah, chapter 13.
The seer's job is to, that means forewarn you. See, where you, the level you're trying to get to, he have to be able to have a discernment to look. And sometimes things appear to be on the rope, but he always leave room for repentance. But sometimes you might look and say, well, I see your hand on the rope, but is it really on the rope? But it appears to be on the rope, and it seems to be you into this struggle. But let's see when the heat turns up exactly what you're made of. Remember we read last night's lesson, how you're supposed to respond to when we read, we're not reading tonight, and Romans chapter 8, 1, 2, 31 to 39. That means you have to, and you have to be Mother E. Hey, Mother E, what you got to be in 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 47 and 48? Hey, Mother E, help those seer out in 2 Ezra 47, 2, 47 and 48. Let's see what it says that we can read.
2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 47 and 48.
Mm-hmm.
2 Ezra, chapter 2. Let me get back there.
Yeah, 47 and 48.
Okay. 2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 47 and 48. Verse 47. So he answered and said unto me, it is the son of Yahweh whom they have confessed in the word. Then began I greatly to command them that stood so stiffly for the name of the Yahweh. 48. Then the ministering spirit said unto me, go thy way and tell my people what manner of things and how great wonders are the Yahweh, your Yahweh, thus has seen.
So according to verse 47, he supposed to tell our peoples what again, mother? According to verse 47. Let me out there, young man.
All right, second answers. All right, chapter 2, according to verse 47.
Yeah.
All right. First answers, chapter 2, verse 47.
What you got to say there for, Micaiah?
What was the question
again? What is that 7 about, Brother Micaiah?
Say that one more time, sir. What was the what?
What is that, Brother Titus? What is that 247 talking about?
You said that we gotta say it simply for his name. You gotta say it simply for that name.
Name.
For his name. The name Yahweh.
Okay. Okay, and then once you stand stiffly about it, what you supposed to do? According to verse 48.
Okay. You're supposed to go your way and tell your people.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your people what matter of great things that Yahweh, our Yahweh, have seen.
Oh, okay. So once the leadership have this information, what they supposed to do is put it up under a bushel, up under bed. What they supposed to do according to verse 48?
Tell my people.
Mm-hmm.
What matter thing?
And according to what we've been reading all day, now who gonna be your biggest opponents for you to stop you from telling your people? Who gonna be your greatest opponents? We've been reading it all day. Oh.
Our greatest opponents?
The closest one to you.
Yeah, we've been reading it all day. Say it again, Brother Micaiah.
The closest one to you.
Right.
Okay, but according to what we've been reading, who's going to be your greatest opponents according to what we've been reading all day?
Esau.
The closest one to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But how about the chief leader and the pope? How about out of him come what? Is he the head of Christianity?
Mm-hmm.
So the head of Christianity mm-hmm. is like going to trickle down the pastors and get to the fathers and the mothers and the children. That's why the fathers and the mothers and the children don't know nothing about no Yahweh. They know everything about Lord God and Jesus.
Right.
So your biggest defeat, although you see this network packed with the WCC, the Latter-day Saints, and the Roman Catholic Church out of New York. You don't look at that as no pat on the back. You look at the reason why they in to see you can catch you on something and see who will be the one that we can be able to deliver this thing to a halt. Because their plan is already in motion ever since 2008, 2009. But they read in the scripture, the only way we can be coming out of power, we must make sure that those that up under our watch never use that name. Because that name of YHWH is the name that caused us to come to an end. See, we read in last night's lesson, not going to intervene. And your time is going to run out. So any other name you think that you got on the table is not going to work. Now, all that to say what? Now we can finally get back to the third book to show you that this motion have been talked about and it was told to Enoch the same thing. So now we've done all that to let you know. See, give me that verse again now. From Micaiah 37:23 of Sirach, the seer. Can I have that verse now?
Going over to the book of Sirach, chapter 37, picking up at verse 23. The book of Sirach, chapter 37, verse 23 reads, "A wise seer instructed his people, and the fruits of his understanding fail not."
See, a wise seer is to instruct his people. So if you get caught up and you don't have the proper information and you don't apply it, and when you see it unfold from pages of the book, it's up to you. Now, Paul in the 20th chapter, verse 29 there, young line, the book of Acts. Now, Paul on the right side of the book, something he said. He said something in the 20th chapter, verse 29-32. What did Paul say? What did he say that we can read? Acts chapter 20, 29-32. What he said we can read there, down the line, Brother Micaiah.
The book of Acts chapter 20, verse 29 down to verse 22. Verse 29 reads.
No. 29-32.
32.
Uh-huh.
The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 29 down to 32. verse 32 reads, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Verse 30. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." 31. "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Verse 32. "And now, brother, I command you to Yahuwah and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified."
So you said the word is able to do what for you there, young man? What is the word? The word is able to do
Yahuwah.
For you.
Huh?
Which is able to build you up.
It's able to what?
Build you up. Build you up.
Say the word of
Yahuwah.
So,
which is able to build you
network,
up.
We just come on this thing to hear our voice just, you know. We come to do what again?
Build you up.
Build you up. See, we come on these networks to reach the peoples to understand one thing, like in last night lesson. Do you know it's written plainly exactly, if you don't have this right, your outcome? See, when you know your outcome and you still don't pay it, no, never mind. That's up to you. But we read from Enoch, which is a seven from Adam, in last night lesson. If you don't get this right exactly, but then all of a sudden, when he bust them clouds open, you're going to be saying, oh, yeah. It was just too late. That's why I build you up now to do all you can to make a judgment on what this man is saying that you can read. So now he pulled that verse from a seer there, Brother Micaiah. Let's see what he pulled that verse from. He said his word is able to build you up. Huh? Let's go to Sirach 14, on to verse 16. Sirach, chapter 3, 14 through 16. What does it say? Brother Micaiah.
Book of Sirach. Book of Sirach, chapter 3, verse 14 down to verse 16. Verse 14 reads, "They that serve her shall minister to the righteous one. And them that love her, the Yahuwah do love." Verse 15. "Whoso giveth ear unto her shall judge the nation. And he that attendeth unto her shall dwell secure." Verse 16. "If a man commit himself unto her, he shall inherit her, and his generations shall hold her in possession."
What verse you on now?
Yeah.
That was verse 16.
Yeah, read a bit more. Right,
you know what? No, it was chapter 4 I was reading. The book of the Rock, chapter 3, verse 14 down to 16. Verse 14 reads, "For the relieving of your father shall not be forgotten, and instead of sins it shall be added to build you up." Verse 15. "In the day of your affliction, it shall be remembered. The sins also shall melt away as the ice in the fair, warm weather." Verse 16. "He that forsaketh his father is as a blasphemer, and he that angereth his mother is cursed of Yahuwah."
What did verse 15 say again, young man?
Verse 15. "In the day of your affliction, it shall be remembered. Your sin also shall melt away as the ice in the fair, warm weather."
Back with another verse.
14. For the reliving of your father shall not be forgotten.
Relieving.
For the relieving of your father shall not be forgotten. And instead of sins, it shall be added to build you up.
So, what is we trying to do, especially to the six anointed camps, before we really go at those on the right side or on every nation upon the sun? According to, what are we trying to do in that verse 3? What are we trying to do in that verse between, I'm not going to call the verse out, what is our intention to do? That we did read when Paul pulled that. What is it all about? According to what we're reading from here, what is it all about?
All about building you up.
All about building.
All
us
about
up.
Building. That's all this is about. Is building you up. It's not we call these networks to. We try to get. We're gonna get into predestination, but we can't get to predestination. Until you understand what's written of Brother Titus in 14:34 of 2 Ezra. Until you understand, you know, they got a commercial called back in the days called Calgon, Take Me Away. They fall back in a bunch of soap water. They fall back in it. But do you know in 2 Ezra 14:34, hey, Brother Titus, what that say that we can read?
Second Ezra, chapter 14, verse 34. Therefore, if so be that you will subdue your own understanding and reform your mind, you should be kept alive, and not to death, you should obtain mercy.
See, you have to reform your mind. I mean, you got to put with all that you have learned. The reason why you're struggling with what we're trying to bring to the table, because you got all that stuff and all that interference in your head. And as long as you got all that stuff and interference in your head, you're going to be vulnerable. But until you're able to take all that, well, I'm coming to the broadcast, all that's on my mind, I'm going to sit to the side. I'm just going to be open-minded, take the notes down, and do the research. That's when the Almighty can work with you. Because we've been built up wrongfully, and we read where it's coming from. Now, let's go and read the foundation. We read it last night, right? Now we go on, letting you know that this came from Enoch. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. And if you know that Enoch saying, I will be in the day of when the tribulation hits you, not to intervene, but to just validate what was told to him by being the seventh from Adam. Now listen. Enoch was told this story. See, all this is not in your canon. Why should it be in your canon? If it be in your canon, you know, you'd be soon saying, whoa, who really you are? Now we go on and look at the 29th chapter on page 251. And Brother Titus is going to read verse 8. Verse 8 and... Micaiah is going to have verse 12. Listen to this.
We go on to the third book, Enoch the Seer, chapter 26, verse 8, page 251.
Read verse 8 and 9. Hold on. Read that verse 8 and 9. Now, remember, this is Enoch time. Now, listen to what you're looking at, and he ain't putting nothing there. It's already there. But remember, you got to have a special meeting to say, no, we can't put that, no. We can't have that. We can't have that in there. What does it say here? Verse 8.
Third book, Enoch, chapter 26, verse 8. The name of that prince is Sipha Yahuwah, and the crown of his head is name.
Hold on, young man. Be listening to now. Now, look, be ready to be all gear. The name of that prince is who?
Tepriel Yahuwah.
Do it say it, that name?
Tepriel.
Hello, Yahuwah.
Yahuwah. Name there.
You see, in Enoch days, that was the name. The YHWH name was death. See, right? The
Yahuwah?
Had the name. But you don't, now you went all your life and now you didn't know these things. You know why? We got to tell you about the, Brother Mackay, give me 5:72 and 5:73, First Ezra. Let the seer tell you what happened, what's really going on. See, it's here, but you got to take notes, but you got to take all that you have learned and just put it to the corner for a minute to understand that Ezra talked about something in 1 Ezra 5:72 and 5:73. What did he say that we can read that, Brother Mackay?
We're going over to the book of 1st Ezra. We're going to chapter 5. We're going to read verse 72 and 73. First Ezra, chapter 5, verse 72 and verse 73. Verse 72 reads, "But the heathen of the land lying heavy upon the inhabitants of Yahdah Judah and holding them straight, hindered their building." Verse 73. Mm-hmm. "And by their secret plot and popular persuasion and commotion, they hindered the finishing of the building all the time that King Cyrus lived. So they were hindered from building."
They were hindered from building, but what was the big dignitary using again, that young line that we can read?
Secret plots and popular persuasion and commotions.
What do you mean by popular persuasion? The media, television, radio, paper, everything they use to manipulate you, put you off in this trance that you're in. Remember, who owns the media? Everything. Only thing you have that is not corrupt, if you know how to go ahead and get what you need, is your Bible. That's the only thing you got is not the Bible. Because you know how to get in what you need out of the Bible and cut out all the lies of the flood of everything surrounding you. See, if you know that what happened in 2009 is because somebody pulled the record saying, hey, if we don't stop this name, but remember, the mob that learns the true name and its program, the more you diminish the ones that are behind the secret plots and the popular persuasion. And that is everything that you look at, TV, radio, internet, everything is a popular persuasion to keep you away from what we're trying to bring to you. And that's why you got to watch those among you when they get caught up and they can't see this thing and they get on a frenzy. You have to watch everybody from the page of the book. So, they use the secret plots. Have you noticed that everything that ever happened in your history came to nothing? What was been missing in every leader that ever existed after the book was closed? What been missing? The name, program of Yahuwah. The name and his program, and that's what will build you up. Have his name and his program build you up. He's not going to intervene in your life until you have his name, his program, to build you up, because then you will stop doing the things that you think your degrees on the wall is part of. In the book of Job there, Mother E, Issachar's boy, Job, and 22, chapter 22, Mother E. Look what it says in verse 23 down to verse 26. Listen what Issachar boy was told. See, everybody was pulling verses. See, the key to understand, you got to pull verses. Reverse. It's not what you hear today. Been hear from you since yesterday. And that's what we try to bring to your table right now. Now, Job 22, Issachar's boy, in 23, down to verse 26. What it said, hey, mother. Hey, mother, what it said that we can read?
The book of Job, chapter 22, verse 23 to 26. Verse 23. If I return to the Almighty, I shall be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquitous sin wherefrom thy tabernacle. Verse 24. Then shalt thou lay up gold and dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stone of the roof. 25. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Verse 26. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto Yahweh.
But it don't happen until when, mother, in verse 23? But it don't happen. Whatever mother just got through reading, it don't happen unless you really hear and catch on what mother read in verse 23. What it said in 23?
If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up.
You see that?
Yes.
You see the man saying? You hear the man saying? It's not going to be built up until you do what, mother?
Put away sin from the tabernacle.
You're not going to be built up in him unless you do what, mother? According to verse 23.
I turn to the Almighty Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. The Almighty Yahuwah.
It ain't going to happen.
Put away
sin. It ain't going to happen no other
tabernacle.
Ain't gonna happen no other way than what he told Job Issachar boy to tell them. He said, I'm not intervening. I'm not gonna intervene. It'll be a few you get past, your Oprah Winfrey's, and a few get past. They can find their $10, their 20. But as a nation, he's not gonna intervene until you do this with him. But ain't but 2/3 gonna do the 22-23. Them 2/3 gonna do that. Make a decision according to what he just said. You gotta return to him. How do you return to him by not following what he got on table? Now read, mother, read Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, 7.
Proverbs 1, 7. Okay.
Yes.
Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 7. To fear Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Yeah. So you see what's happening? So when you try to help someone, and all of a sudden they get a tension tantrum, hey, what this thing is all about. See, our job is to make sure that you understand what is the consequences of this thing is really all about. It's not the, you have all degrees on the wall you want. You have all degrees you want. But when it comes down to this Bible knowledge, they're going to get you in the kingdom. You reject this with your worldly knowledge, yeah, and you reject the knowledge of this book that'll get you and those who come in contact the plan that has been set up, not alone in just 2009. Now we're getting ready to read that somebody went into these books here and said, wait a minute, do you know that the peoples that was in heaven at the end of their name was this name, YHWH? Then we go right into the Bible and Philippians there, Brother Micaiah. So now we're seeing a parallel. So by going to Ephesians chapter 3, there, so now we can connect this by knowing this. Now we can connect this now. But you can't connect it if only you in the 66 books and the average Christian congregation. If it ain't in the 66 books, your pastor will tell you, I ain't paying it no never mind. Well, see, that's going to keep you a midget and everybody around you a midget in understanding Yahweh's word. Because all this knowledge was passed down, but we unlocked all of it because we can't see no further than the 66 books. We don't know how to go in and get what we need out of all the books. See, every book tells a story because he talked to everybody and told them some things to write to pass on. Now this knowledge has been, we bring it back to you to take a look at this thing, but put all your degrees to the side and take a look at this thing right here that we find out right here in Enoch chapter 3 that all the angels in heaven had a last name by the name of what? YHWH. Then when you go into Ephesians 3, Brother Micaiah, and then you go right into Ephesians chapter 3, but not having this information, then you're going to be stuck. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, help me out there, young lion. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. So now, when I look at this verse now, with this Bible, which is a continuation writing that was told to Enoch, now I can connect this together. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15. Verse 14 reads, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Yahuwah, Yahuwah the Son. Verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
You see that? Everybody in heaven carries that name. See it? But we will respond to Islam or Judaism quick and we respond to anything in the Bible. Don't you know that's been by secret plots and popular persuasion got you up in this thing? And we trying to return back to you according to Psalm 95 verse 7, 69 verse 4, what we took not away from you. It's up to you to do your research and understand this thing. So now we in Enoch chapter 3 and we find out that the names that they was called by their first name, they had a name at the end of their name. And what was the end of the name? Verse 8 again, Brother Titus. Verse 8.
Third book of Enoch. Chapter 43, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8 and verse 9. The name of that prince is Serapiel. Yahuwah, and the crown of his head, his name is the Prince of Peace, and why he is called by the name of Serapiel Yahuwah, because he is assigned to rule over.
Mm-hmm. So we find out that the angels that was in heaven, they had a first name. But at the end of their name was who there, young man? What was the end of their name?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Which right. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. Yahweh. So you see, that name is the only name that they know. Once you start researching that name, but we know that's strange to your ear because your pastor, your Christian pastor, never even mentioned it. He passed it on to his son. He passed on to his grandson. He passed on to his grandson's grandson. And they never told you that the name that's going to get you in the kingdom, you must have the name of the four letters. They'll fight you tooth and nail. No, just don't use their name. They'll put you out their church, too, with their name. You know why? They got orders already from somebody high above you. If you use their name, you come up out this church. Period. Now, get down to verse 12. Now, listen to this in verse 12. Come on, Brother Micaiah. Now, come on down to verse 12. Now, watch this. Listen to this right here. Listen to this, that Enoch to write this. Don't you know about secret plots and popular persuasion? They could have put this into the canon, but why should they? Their program would never have been alive this long. They could have put this in there, but why didn't they? We'll find out now. Come on, Brother Micaiah, pick up verse 12.
We're going over to the third book of Enoch, chapter 26, verse number 12. Verse 12 reads. Why are they called seraphim? Because they burn the writing tables of Satan. Every day Satan sits together.
Wait a minute. I just happened too quick. Why they call them?
He says.
It's not that I'm running for nothing. It's the spirit to be in those cells. When he hears the game changer, but you know, like the brother that had the 100 sheep and one got away with 99, he put to the side. He asked them, he wouldn't stop the lost one. He said, "Now y'all come rejoice with me." It's not the 99; it was the one he came and got. So every time we're able to make one, look at this thing a different direction. So see, it can happen, huh? Listen what we read out of the storybook of Enoch. What is it now? Go ahead.
Picking it back up in the third book of Enoch, chapter 26, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, why are they called seraphim? Because they burn the writing tables of Satan. Every day, Satan sits together with Samuel, the prince of Rome, and with Dubai.
What do he do every day?
Every day, Satan sits together with Samuel, the prince of Rome.
Every day, he sits every day with the Pope of Rome. Every day.
Hallelujah.
Satan visits the Pope of Rome every day.
Every day.
He don't have a day. Satan do not visit the Pope of Rome. And the Pope visits the bishops every day. So you see, it's written, this was a prophecy. Every day, Satan sends, or maybe it's a period, he sent his ministers to sit down with the Pope of Rome every month. You see, every month.
No, sir.
Every day.
Satan shows up with the Pope of Rome every day. Go ahead and read.
The Prince of Rome and with Dubail, the Prince of Persia. And they write down the sins of Israel on their writing table.
Wait a minute, young man. And all is on their mind is to always back by who?
He says, and they write down the sins of Israel on their writing table. Israel, the Israelites.
All they want to do is fight the six anointed camps of voices of the two Israelites. So you think all them big dignitaries on the room, they want in the room for one reason. Let's find something we can backbite them on. All day, the only threat they have left is the voices of the two Israelites. The six anointed camps. They now, and with the poke of Rome, said, well, we got everybody. Who's left we don't have? The only one you don't have is the six anointed camps. I'm the only one that you don't have. Everybody else, you got them. Because everybody else, they Christian and they just can't figure this thing out. You know why you can't figure it out? Because you're a Christian. But he made it plain. He made it plain about this thing that what's going to happen to you in Isaiah 65:15, Brother Titus. He made it plain what's going to happen to you. The seer told you about that. Back up to 11:26. He tell you that you're going to catch something and it's on you like a cheap dress today. Watch this. Isaiah 65:15.
Isaiah the seer, chapter 65, verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for Yahweh shall slay you and call his service by another name.
He said, you're going to leave your name. You're going to leave the name that he gave you, that was the blessed name, and you're going to pick up a cursed name. And you're going to respond to the cursed name more than you respond to the blessed name. Because the blessed name have been removed from you, according to Ezra, by secret plot and popular persuasion. See? Now, what happened? Read it. Read it, Brother Micaiah. I tell you what. Hey,
where
Mother,
we going?
Hey, Mother E. You hold it. Just give me the 17th chapter 1-9. Now, let's see what you redeem yourself in the 17th chapter 1-9. You give me that, Brother Micaiah. But Mother, you give me this. What? It was prophesied that you were going to leave your name for a curse name. And let's see. He said, I'm going to slay you for it. But his servants will be called by another name. What name will you respond to quicker than your name that Yahweh gave you in his book? Let's see what name you will respond to that we can read. Hey, read it, Mother E. In the 11th chapter, verse 26. Let's see what name you're going to respond to more than the name that's been given to you. Let's see. Let's see if we read it. 11:26. Acts 11:26. The book of Acts, chapter 11:26. Read the way you see it. What name would you respond to? What name would be caught in your throat? And these names would be caught in your throat. Mother getting ready to read some curse name to you. And what name is that? 11:26 of Acts. Bring it.
Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. Acts 11:26.
Yeah.
Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
Yeah. You see that? Yeah. You will leave your name for a curse, and guess what name that you will be called first? Christian Church.
Yeah.
Christian Church. The head of the Christian Church. The Pope. The Pope is the head of the Christian Church. Who we found out that visits the Pope of Rome every day? Satan the devil.
Mm-hmm.
We just read Enoch written, got it written in the third book of Enoch, page 251. Satan the devil visits the Pope of Rome every day.
Every day.
Every day. It's just his name was called Samuel the Pope. Samuel the Pope. Now, what his name is now, what his name is now, whatever name you call the Pope now, but the end of his name is the Pope, right? So that's all he's saying.
That's right.
Samuel the Pope. That was the name he gave you, you know, Samuel the Pope. So whatever the Pope name is now, whatever his name is, at the end of his great big title, called the Pope, right? Satan visited him every day. And he asked, well, you know, I got everybody, but who is left? See, you'll be reading to him. But now, Brother Micaiah, before you read that, come on back and give me back what he said. Now, I want that 17:1-9. Come on back now. Now, we got Samuel of the Pope of Rome. Now, come on back and pick it up. And he want to know what about the sins of Israel. Is it who else we don't have? And what else they say? What did they say? The sins of Israel. Come on.
Okay. The sins of Israel on their writing table, which they hand over to the Sephirim, so that the Sephirim can present them to the righteous one. Blessed be he, so that he should eliminate Israel from the world. But the Sephirim know the secrets of the righteous one.
Hold on.
Blessed be he.
You hold on. You see what they report? They come down to visit Pope of Rome and say, "What you got? What you got on the Israelites? Which one we don't have?" He said, "We come to get the paperwork because the only way we got a access to him to tell her how low down you is. So now we kind of, put you in the same bag that we in. So they come down and sit down with the Pope of Rome." And the Pope of Rome be writing down everything that you be doing, and then he give it to the man that can get it to Yahweh, but he can say, okay, that's enough. I'm going to deliver him up. But watch this now. Keep reading. I mean, I can't break all of it down in this setting, but I'm trying to give you an idea that the man from Satan the devil, this man, they come sit down with the Pope. He asks the Pope, what you got?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing down there? Which one we don't have? But all one you don't have is the six anointed camps called Boys of Two Israelites. You got all the rest of them. What can you got some accusation for to get me? And they're doing something contrary to his word? Well, not yet. We're working on it. That's why we monitoring the broadcast now. We're working on it. We ain't got what we need yet, but we're working on it. Go ahead, keep reading.
Okay. They know that he does not want the people of Israel to perish. What do the Sephirim do about this? Every day they receive the tablets from the hand of Satan, and they burn them in the burning fire, which is near the high and exalted.
Stop it there. Now, when Satan ministers come to the Pope, you get the list of who doing contrary to Yahweh in their mind, but soon they have their contact is a middle spirit in heaven. So they bring the Pope's message to the middle spirit in heaven, and they say, man, I ain't telling Yahweh nothing about what they're doing. Because Yahweh don't even look on sin anyway, according to 1:13 of the book of Habakkuk. The minister spirit is the one be watching you all day long. So now when they sit down and poke and get high low down that and try to bring an accusation against you, they pass it to the minister spirit and tell them, take it to Yahweh and tell them that they ain't doing right or whatever. But they take it and burn it. They don't do it. Now in Wednesday night lesson, we show you why we can't tell you all, but in 2 Peter chapter 2:10, they tell you the answer to that question. But we can't tell you all. But the one that they have to take a regular accusation against you, they contact, man, we ain't getting this to Yahweh. We ain't getting this to Yahweh. We ain't getting him nothing. See? Go ahead and read.
It says, every day they receive the tablets from the hand of Satan, and they burn them in a burning fire, which is near the high and exalted throne. They do this in order that the tablets should not come before the righteous one. Blessed be he. When he is sitting upon the throne of judgment, judging the entire world in truth.
See that? You see that? So now, he left. Cut Satan off, said, no, you're not coming to me no more. I'm going to put a middleman in there, and whatever you get, you give it to my middleman. But the middleman said, hey, we ain't taking Yahweh none of this stuff. We ain't taking them nothing. But you see who he visits every day? The poker room. You the one that got you eating hog on the first of the year? The one got you calling in by every name but the four-letter name? And the name is getting every direction? See? They working you with secret plots and popular persuasion. Remember we read earlier, one of the Azazel messages said that all the big dignitaries are heading to Rome now to sit down with them and discuss and learn from them. But they teaching the same the devil. Yeah. Now, give me the 17th chapter 1. Now give me the 17th chapter, and I'm pulling for you, young lion, that you don't be fumbling around, and you just lay it on out there, because we said, and Enoch wrote about Samuel the Pope of Rome. Now, John closed the Bible up in 6 A.D. when the story was told. What was told to John 96 A.D. about the Pope of Rome? What did he say? 17:1-9, come on.
The book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 1 down to verse 9. The book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 1 reads, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here. I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 2.
Hold that point. What do many waters mean, brother Titus, verse 15 and 18? Verse 15 and 18. What does that mean by the whore sits on many waters? What is this talking about? You think the whore sitting out there in Lake Michigan? No. Verse 15 and 18. Bring it.
Revelation chapter 17, verse 15 and verse 18. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which you saw, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Verse 18. And the woman which you saw is that great city which ruleth over the kings of the earth.
Yeah. See, when you precept your Bible, now you know this woman sits over. Peoples, kindreds, tongues, and nations. Because this organization speaks every language that needs to be spoken. They got every language coming out of the mouth. Even English. They speak every language they need. See that? And they got a poke in every place it is. And everybody on one accord. Huh? And they rule. They reign over all the peoples. Is that right? Now, what organization reign over everybody in Christian religion? What is that? The Protestants, they Christian. The Latter-day Saints, they Christians. Baptists, they Christians. Everybody Christian. And the Christian. The Pope. Come on, y'all. Bring some out in that 17th chapter. Now you know he's going to show him the woman that rule over everybody, and they rule up rule you up under Christianity. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. Because you ask your mama, your grandmama, your uncle, what is your religion? They said, we are Christian. See that? See? Christian, Muslim, and so what you call it, Islamic, and Judaism. Then they said, we're gonna build three big places ready, and everybody's going to be one as days of old. But who going to, what the one teaching going to be? Oh, Christianity. What do you think it's going to be? It's going to be Christianity. What do you think it's going to be? Why do you think it's to me every day for? The contrary to the Bible, Christianity. So you going to ride this all the way in, ain't you? I know. You're going to pay a seal on never mind, but watch this. Keep reading. Verse 2, 17:2, read it.
Revelation chapter 17, verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Verse 3. So he
carried the wine is her teaching, and her wine is her Christianity teaching. The kings and earth have made drunk with the wine with the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church to you up on the Christianity. You've been drunk with that. Go ahead. This is a prophecy, not in John's days, but is in your day. Go ahead.
Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns.
And this woman, now ten horns and seven heads and ten horns, that is another lesson I like to do tonight, but I can't. You know, it's showing you exactly the names of it. I tell you what, if you remind me Wednesday, I'll give you the seven heads and the ten horns by name, but you can't do it in this broadcast. But this woman is over everything. Why we know she over everything? Don't every king, every big dignitary got to come well to be anointed. Well, to Rome, don't they? Everybody got to come and bow the knee, bring the Pope in Rome. Is that right? Don't everybody in the United States do it? Everybody in every country must come to Rome and bow the knee. And the Pope have no problem in sticking that ring out and turn his head and look at them bishops when they kiss that ring. Now, he put that hand out just so smooth.
Yeah.
Before the conversation starts, you know what you got to do first? Get on that knee, kiss that ring before we talk. Then he turn around and look at all the big popes, the bishops with him, wink his eye at him, and now saying, now get up, son. Now what? What's on your mind, my son? You see, everybody got to do that. But remember, Satan visits him every day. Got it? Good. Keep reading.
Verse 4. And a woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color.
Now, the woman, hold on, young lion. Now, remember, John is talking about what to happen. He said, identify this woman, her clothes wearing would be scarlet, red, and purple. That would be they big dignitary clothes they wear, scarlet, red, and white sometimes. But red and purple would be a mission card, red for the cardinals, purple for your Pope, and everybody else wear white. See? So John is telling you who this one that could be led by Satan the devil in 96 A.D. The preacher won't tell you none of this. But when you read it and where you look to see who it is today, the one you catch wearing purple and red. Purple, red, and something else. Go ahead.
And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand.
And they're going to be, hold on there, young lady. Hold on, wait a minute, young lion. They're going to be decked with gold and all that stuff. They're the richest organization it is. Now, who that fit today? The who that fit? That don't fit the bosses of the two is might do it. So all of us got more back chairs in the temple than anybody. See? They got chairs that you can wrap back and go to sleep in and hear all that living. And wrap back and say, God dog, you what did he say? I've been asleep so long in this big old comfort chair, I've been asleep. Go ahead and read. Now what else you got? What else another clue?
Having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination. And filthiness of her fornication.
Now she got in this golden cup, it's full with a lot of names in it, and full of abomination. Now, what organization you know that you always see the great big old golden cup, the big golden cup, waving it for you, big golden cup, that gold. But in that cup, full abomination. This is what John is writing in 96 A.D. In this cup is full of abomination. What happened next?
Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth.
Verse 6. Now in this cup, hold on, 5. Let me get 5 out of the way. In this cup is abomination. It's Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Remember, John is writing about a new Babylon, not the one that he was been brought up with to your family.
Right.
He's talking about Babylon to come. And this Babylon is a mystery Babylon. So this Babylon was to come. The Babylon of old was gone. Rome was, in John's time, Rome was ruling. The Babylonians been gone. The Medo-Persians been gone. The Greeks was been gone with the same people that Esau. They just blend in with them. This was telling you about something to come. That's going to be, I got to put a rabbit out of here. Brother Taz, help me out. This was to come.
Sir.
And the 13th chapter, 1, 2, and 3, John wrote about this. This one right here. This Babylon was to come. 13, 1, 2, and 3. What does it say in Revelation?
Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Verse 3. And the dragon gave him his power, and his throne, and great authority. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast.
You hear what he saying? He said he has name of blasphemy and his deadly wound was healed. See, he took a blow in 158 A.D. by Septimus Severus, but they deadly wound was healed in 1492. The Roman Catholic Church came back in power in 1492. So their deadly wound had been healed. They took a fatal blow from 193 to 1492. But John is right about their deadly wound got healed. They got healed. Now they got a state all to themselves now called the Vatican City. And they, and all of the Christians, whatever the Christians going to do, it come out of the Vatican City. We read that last night. That deadly wound been healed, man. Look what it says in verse 6. Verse 6. Listen to this.
The book of Revelation,
chapter 13.
Verse 6. Verse 6:3. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints.
But now, hold on, young line. Hold on, Brother Micaiah. Let Brother Titus give me that 13:6. I want 13:6. Listen to this, 13:6.
Revelation chapter 13, anti-prophecy, verse 6. And he opened his mouth and blasphemy against Yahweh and to blaspheme his name and his temple and them that dwell in heaven.
You see what he do? He blasphemed Yahweh's name by calling him a name we get ready to read. They blasphemed the four-letter name. Ain't that what they're doing today? You didn't even know the four-letter name even exists. They blasphemed the four-letter name. He said, John, they're going to blaspheme my name, John. John is, look at this name, big time now. They're going to blaspheme your four-letter name? Come on back, Brother Titus. I mean, Micaiah. Watch this. Let's see what is the blaspheme name that's going to, they're going to put in place of YHW. You know, did you know this in here? What is the name? Come on, let's read a bit, Brother Micaiah.
The book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 6 reads, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her...
Jesus! Hold on, don't let that get away. Jesus! That's the name you're going to blaspheme the Almighty's name with, Jesus. That's the name that's going to be the blasphemy. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to kill you for having that name, Jesus. We read it last night what he's going to do for you by having that name, Jesus. The name replaces YHWH. It's the name the Pope slides on everybody in English. It's Jesus. Every Christian leader up out of Christianity, what name do they use? What name they use, class?
Jesus.
That's the name they use. But John is watching this thing. Said, what? They're going to be calling you Jesus. Watch the next verse. Read. Now, John got excited now. John got excited, but watch what happened from heaven to when you get excited in the word of Yahweh. Keep reading.
And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which had the 7 heads and 10 horns. Verse 8. The beast that
Hold on, let me get seven out the way. He said, why are you marveling? He said, you know... Why are you marveling at this, John? Just like they come on the air and they be marveling at this thing. Why are you marveling? We're going to tell you all you need to know. Why are you marveling at this thing? You got the degrees on the wall? Take them off the wall and put them in the briefcase, fly up on your bed somewhere. Because it don't mean nothing according to Yahweh. This is what you need to have in your head. Because he had John. You a leader, John. Why are you marveling at this thing? I'm going to sit down and show you what you need to know, John. So John got excited. He's on the Isle of Patmos in jail, and he don't got excited about this thing. But the angel said, calm down, John. Why are you marveling at this thing? I'm going to get you straight. Go ahead and read.
Verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the fornication of the world, when they behold
the beast
that was and is not, and yet is. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth.
7 heads is 7 mountains where the woman sits. I'm going to show you the mystery. Now, you go on your computer, your computer whiz, and put in Seven Heads and the Seven Mountains, and it'll tell you that is the Vatican City of Rome. Rome is built on seven hills and seven mountains. Do your homework. Do your homework. Seven hills, seven mountains. What horse sit on this? It'll come back. Rome, the Vatican City. So you see what you did? You see what y'all did? Now everybody got to get the Vatican City. And Rome was prophesied by Yahweh to John that the woman, why you mumming this thing? The woman you see sit up on seven hills and seven mountains. Put that in your computer and watch what come up. And the woman wear purple and red. And the woman have you eating hog and black-eyed peas every January the 1st. The woman have you call her name, a blasphemy name, Jesus, and keeping Sunday and spending your money in 55, 1 and 2 of Isaiah, but that was not bread. And guess what? And my people love to have it so. And do you want to know why you always cropping so many problems? You pull that hog, and they got to rush it to some doctor somewhere. But they can pump that hog at you somewhere and charge you a loan bill called Medicaid and everything else. See? It's up to you. We're going to stop it right there because time just about ran out. Hey, Mother E, we'll get back on this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. What's your closing statement is behind that, Mother E? You on the clock, come on.
Just singing and praising Yahweh for the class and singing and praising Yahweh be in the class. And I'm going to say to the listening audience, hold on, don't give up. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
See what the mother said? Because you only can be built up through this word. If you're sitting there eating hog, black-eyed peas, and you don't understand what is written in Leviticus chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 and 12, telling you, the children of Israel, you, if you're a woman, you got to come out them pants. Unless you got a job doing it, when the job over, go in your locker room, put your pants, your dress on your fringes and go about your business for the blessing of Yahweh on you. See, all this here we kind of bring to your table. You want the blessing of Yahweh or you want to continue with this blessing of Satan the devil? Because we found out that Satan visits the poker room every day. Every night. And he said, well, long as they ain't using that name. Well, no, they ain't using only one using the name is voices of the true Israelite, the 6 anointed candles. Everybody else using Lord, God, and Jesus. And everybody else eating hog on January the 1st. And how that's New Year. That's not New Year of the Bible. That's the New Year that they gave you contrary to the Bible. Other lesson, you can find out what the New Year is of the Bible. If you got the Bible in your hand, don't you want to know what the Bible's saying? Closing statement there, young
man,
Brother Titus, is yours for you. Come on. What's your closing statement is? Come on.
I got 1 Maccabees, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 11. In those days went there out of Israel, Judah, wicked man, who persuaded me to say, let us go and make a covenant with the heathen, nation of Esau, his five sons, Amalek, that are round about us. But since we departed from there, we had much sorrow. Verse 12. So this device pleased them well. 13. Then certain of the people were so poor with their end that they went to the king and gave them license to do after the orders of the heathen, Esau and his five sons. Verse 30. And spake peaceable words unto them, but all was deceit. But when they had given them credit, they fell suddenly upon the city and smote very sore and destroyed much people of Israel. Verse 36, for it was a place to lie in wait against the temple and an evil adversary to Israel. Verse 41, moreover, King Antioch wrote to his whole kingdom, that all should be one people. 42. And everyone should leave his law so that the heathen, nation of Esau, agreed according to the commandment of the king. 43. Yea, meaning also of the Israelites descended to his religion and sanctified unto idols and profane the Sabbath. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Micaiah and 4:15 are the same book that young lion just read that from. What do 4:15 say in that first Maccabees 4:15? What does that say in 4:15?
In the book of First Maccabees, chapter 4, picking up at verse number 15. Verse 15 reads, howbeit, all the hindmost of them were slain with the sword, for they pursued them unto Gaza.
Make it second Maccabees 4:15. Thank you, that Mother Z. Second Maccabees 4:15. Thank you, Mother Z.
All right, we're going to 2 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, not sitting by the honors of their fathers, but liking the glory of the Grecians best of all.
See that? So what your fathers have said in this Bible, you sit that to the side. You like what the Grecian descendants of Esau and how they sent it to the book of Rome, you like the message they got on the table. But what your father got on the table, you paid no never mind. Read another two more verses.
Verse 16. By reason wherefore sore calamity came upon them, for they had them to be their enemies and avengers, whose custom they followed so earnestly, and unto whom they desire to be like in all things. Verse 17.
You see that?
It is not.
You see that? Hold that point. You see it? We love their custom. And we like to be like them, right? And that's what we do? Don't we straighten our hair out?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we do everything that you see they do? And we, honestly, we beat them doing it. Days that they got called holidays, don't we beat them on all of it? On the 4th of July, everything they created for you, I mean created for themselves, don't you take advantage of it better than they do?
Mm-hmm.
And we
hallelujah.
And we love to have it.
Yeah, well.
But he says something in the statement. He says in Jeremiah 5:31, what he says in 5:31, and give me a closing statement there, young lion. He says something about this in Jeremiah. See, we honestly follow the other nations. I mean, we want to look like them, talk like them, walk like them, dress like them, eat like them. But what did Jeremiah say that was raised from the womb in 5:31? What did he say that young lion in closing statement?
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 31. Verse 31 reads, The bishops prophesied falsely, and to bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?
You see that? He said, the Pope, the bishop, they prophesied lies to you. And you love to have it so. He said, but what are you going to do at the end of this thing? What will happen to you? That's what you can think about it. And think about it too. Young Lion, close statement. Take your time and go ahead. It's over you now,
Young
Lion. Come on.
Thank you, Yahuwah, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahuwah, to be able to learn from the seer Israel of Seed Royal. Thank you, Yahuwah, for my wife and children to be able to teach them the law, the first five books of the Bible. Thank you, Yahuwah, for the elders and the mothers and the teachers, and all the brothers and sisters in the Six Anointed Council. And thank you, Yahuwah, for bringing the family of Israel back together under one. I want to read the book of Enoch. I want to read 1 Enoch, chapter 98, verse 1, read. And now I swear to you, to the wise and to the foolish, that you shall see many experiences on the earth. Verse 2. For you men shall put on more adornments than a woman, and colored garments more than a young woman, like royalty, and in gondia, and in power, and in silver, and in gold, and in purple, and in splendor, and in food, they shall be poured out as water. Verse 3. Therefore, they shall have neither knowledge nor wisdom. Because of this, they shall die together with their possessions, and with all their glory, and their splendor, and in shame, and in slaughter, and in great destitution. Their spirit shall be thrown into the furnace of